Samuel chapter number 5. And there's several portions of scripture that deal with what I'm going to preach on. And I won't have time to reach all of them, but I do want to lay the foundation. But I want to give the springboard text in verse 17 and then verse 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. What did I say? Oh, okay. Well, I'm thinking about eating is what I'm doing. Sorry. I got confused. Yeah, I tell you, Esther's not here. She can give me the sign language, you know. What's in. Are they really? At least I can hear you. Oh, boy. Anyway, we are looking at this thought of little that has been upon my heart. And, of course, the emphasis is if you can embrace, and if you can relate to the little that God has placed in your life, He'll take care of everything that needs to be big. Amen. I had a pastor call me today. And he said, "Brother Dana, I've never been so humiliated in my life." He said, "I was eating in a restaurant. A man came in. I recognized him. I went to speak to him. And he said, I didn't know he had all this in his heart." And he said out loud, the place was full, he began to demean me, speak ill of me, and say all sorts of accusations. And he said, I looked around and he said there were people there that I knew. And he said, I've still got that in me. I can't get over that. I said, well, brother, how'd it make you feel? He said, it made me feel little. I said, he didn't hurt you. He helped you. He helped you. I said, now I wouldn't be in his shoes for the world. But I said, you can't be hurt when you're made little. Because it's in your littleness and in your weakness that his strength is made known. And I'm afraid the church in this hour is competing with Hollywood and competing with the commercial world to try to raise the church up to its recognition and applause and all of that. And I'll tell you, in this hour, the church is really getting big. But I'm going to tell you, it's from that big that God will bring her down. Because he's interested in you and I embracing the little. And if he ever does anything in anybody's life or in any church, understand this, he's going to start out of someplace small. And then he'll work from that. So let us take time during the day to thank him for the little things. And let us not shoot for the stars. Try to be big. That's not our interest. Let us serve him on the level that he has appropriated for us and be thankful for that level. Amen. We've noticed, of course, a little sinner as much when God's want to is in him. He wanted what Jesus wanted, and Jesus wanted what Zacchaeus wanted. We've noticed that a little ship as much when God's son is with it. He said those other little ships were with him. It's not how big the storm is, nor what size the ship. It's who's with you on board when the storm rages that makes the difference. But I want to go a step further, and I want to emphasize this matter of Saul. I want to preach for a few moments on a little Saul. A little Saul is much when God's will is in him. A little Saul is much when God's will is in him. Look in verse number 17, 1 Samuel chapter 15. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. I hear this so often from preachers. Brother Dana, I feel so insignificant. I seem to never have the confidence that I need. As I stand behind the pulpit, I say, well, don't mess with that. You're in a good place. Because as long as you're little, God can do some big things.
Amen.
And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. Wow. Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. But the key to it is when thou wast little in thine own eyes.
Yes.
Verse number 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. A little Saul was much when he was little in his own sight. Do not despair of those that seem less than capable for the task when God is using them, no matter how small they may be. Because it is in the midst of that littleness that He is working to do what needs to be done. Now, I want to emphasize this matter of Saul in relationship to this thought of being little. I want us to notice how, as Samuel depicts him, that when we find Saul, we can go back to chapter number 9, Saul is humble. Saul is surrendered. Saul is submissive. You can hear it in his voice in verse number 21 of chapter 9. After Samuel has told him what God is going to do with him. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? He said, first off, to Samuel, I'm too little for this job. Why would you ask me? I am the least of the tribes. Sounds to me sort of like another fellow in the New Testament by the name of Paul. He said, well, I'm the least of the apostles. And this is the spirit and the attitude of Saul early on. We find him, and here's my phrase, we find him early on being under authority, being under and submissive and humble. Notice it, if you will, in verse number 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. And the scripture said in verse 2, and he had a son whose name was Saul. And look what the scripture says concerning this young man. He is a choice young man, a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. What potential lies within this young man Saul? Because we find him willing to get down, willing to be less, willing to be little. And the scripture tells us that he is small or he is little, we can see it. He is under in relationship to his father as a son. Because this big old boy, who's a head taller than anyone else, is told by his father to go out and look for the donkeys, so to speak. And the scripture tells us in verse 4, he passed through the Mount of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they couldn't find them. And then in verse number 6, and when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. You can sense in this text that he is under as far as his relationship to the authority of his father. He is under his father in his orders and even in the sense of his father as far as compassion is concerned. He doesn't want his dad to worry about him, as he states it in verse number 6. He's under as a son in relationship to the authority of his parents. But he's not only under as a son. I notice in verse number 10, after they have gone and tried to find these animals, and it is the servant that tells him in verse number 6, he said of chapter number 9, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. He's an honorable man. And all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way what we should go. But notice down in verse number 10, then said Saul to his servant, well said, come and let us go. Now here is a young man that in position is certainly in higher rank and over his own servant or the servant of his father's household. But yet he is able to realize that coming out of this servant are some words that he himself needs to respond to. So he basically is not only operating under the authority of his father as a son, he knows when to get down to the wisdom of someone who seems to be less than he is as far as society is concerned. There are times when you need to hear the voices of the children. There are times when you need to hear the voices of those who seem to be less that you are than you are in the position of authority, because God may speak out of the mouths of babes and sucklings if you can hear it, if you can humble to it. If you can surrender to God's word, no matter where it comes from or who it comes through. And as I preach across the country, I do not only go to take a word, but I go listening for a word as folks testify. I don't take that lightly. I listen as you speak, because I realize God can say something and does say something that'll help my heart if I will just surrender to it. I cannot come in as a bull in a china shop saying I am the evangelist and I'm here to tell you everything. No, I'm here to get under. When I walk into this service and when I walk into a church, I automatically bow under the authority of that pastor and gladly do so. And then when I'm shaking hands with the saints as they're coming in and out, I'm listening to their voices, because many, many times God will say something to me and he'll say, did you hear that? And I say, thank you, Lord, for speaking through one of your children to my heart. And here it is that he's willing to get under. He's got a heart. No wonder Samuel said unto him, when thou wast little in thine own sight, he was not too big to get under his father. He was not too big to get under even a servant. But here we find also when he comes in contact with Samuel. If you look in chapter number 9, verse 27, he is under the prophet. He bows under the authority of God's man that he has placed there as a prophet and a priest. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant to pass on before us, and he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. And then he begins to give him particular steps for his life. In chapter 10, verse 1, and on down through verse 3 or 4, and if you'll read those verses, you'll find that Saul followed those steps exactly. Because he realized that this was God's man with God's word for his life, and he was going to listen to it. He had surrendered to Samuel, and he had surrendered completely to what God said. He was, as I say, under. And then if you'll notice in verse number 1 of chapter 10, he comes under the anointing of the Spirit. It seems as though that wherever you find him, he is submitted. He is bowing. He is subjected. The Bible said in verse number 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil, poured it upon his head and kissed him. And said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Here's what has taken place. God has found a young man that is totally under. That's where God wants you to be, and that's where God wants me to be. Because here's the truth of it. If you can get under his hand, it will have two effects. It will be over you, then automatically his hand will get under you and raise you up. If somehow you can get down, then God can use that to bring you up. If somehow you can live in the realm of small and little and accept it, then God can do some big things in your life. God can do some big things with your children. God can do some big things with your marriage. God can do some big things with the words that flow out of your mouth. If you're willing to get down, he said, then that I might raise you up. He's interested in raising some things up, and some things need to be raised up. My Lord, look around in America. Some things need to be raised up. But I'm going to tell you, nothing's going to come up until the church gets down. The key to America is not in Washington. The key to America is right here. And it's when the church of the living God once again is willing to come under the authorities, as this man said, the authorities that God has placed in our lives, that we would come under the children, the authorities of the parents, and the authorities of the law, and the authorities of the church, and the authorities of the man of God, and the authorities of the word of God, and the authorities of the Spirit. When you find a man, woman, boy, and girl that is willing to come down and be little, you mark it down somewhere, God's going to use them in a mighty way in somebody's life. You cannot be under but what God won't bring you over. He is under physically. He is under mentally. And he is also under spiritually. But haven't we got the great example of Christ, who left the portals of glory and made the greatest descent that any has ever made in distance and came down to this earth, and not only came down to this earth, but became a man lower than the angels, and then became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He went all the way down. He got all the way under. And after he got under, then God was able to take Christ, who got under, and raise him up and give him a name that is above every name. But hey, look at this. He won't ever raise you up but what he don't raise something else up with you. Because when he raised Christ up, he raised me up. And he raised you up. And he raised you up. But he couldn't raise any of us up if there hadn't have been that humble redemption of which Christ went down so far. And the answer to the circumstances, whether it is drugs or whether it is alcohol or whether it is sex or whether it is what it is in this whole world with all the division, is somebody is going to have to make the choice of getting down, becoming less, so God can use them to bring something up with them. To bring up a son with them. To bring up a daughter with them. To bring up a family or marriage with them. To bring up someone who's in prison with them. To bring something up. Somebody's got to get under God. Got to get under His Spirit. Got to get under His authority. Got to get under. He said, when thou wast little, when you were under. And he said to Samuel, in verse 16 of chapter number 9, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over. Captain over. Somebody said, why is he putting him over? Because he was under. Amen. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. If you want to find the answer to any and solution to any situation, find the humbled place, the little place, the low place, and then God can begin to work. He is under, first of all, and God brings him over. And anytime you find anybody that's got any kind of authority with God, what you will understand is somewhere in their lives they got down and they were under. And as a result of that, there were others that God gave them a voice for. God seemed to raise them up and put them over, and others began to hear what God was saying through them. Because He will never put you over until you have willfully come under. He will never put you over your family. He'll never put you over a church. He'll never put you over. He'll never give you a voice for anybody until you have first got under His voice. And I'm going to tell you the problem with America is I'm going to tell you the church is not under. And God won't put her over. But then I want you to notice with me, in chapter number 13, Saul has been elevated. He has been put over. Joseph got down and down and down and down. Everywhere he went, he bowed. Everywhere he went, he bowed. And then God put him over. You say, well, why ain't everything working out? And why ain't I over anything yet? Well, you ain't under enough. You'll know when you're under is when He starts putting you over.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Huh?
Amen.
Being a high flying evangelist, or what folks think it is, was somehow, how in the world, a high flying evangelist? It ain't a high flying evangelist. I'm going to tell you something. It's God taking a young 14-year-old boy and teaching him to get down. And letting him know that it's none of his business how high he goes. God will take care of that. Woo! Ain't that wonderful? The steps upwards, none of your business. The steps downwards, what you need to be concerned with.
Amen.
Not how high you can get, but how low you can get. When you walk into anybody's presence in any place, where's the low spot? If I'm going to help anybody, it's not by taking over, it's by getting under. And once you get under, God begins to raise you up and give you an authoritative voice. And people begin to hear and listen. He's under. When thou wast little in thine own sight. Chapter 13 and also chapter number 15. Saul has been put over so much. But it doesn't take long for us to realize that for some reason, his demeanor changes. He becomes deceptive and disobedient. We find that out, first of all, in chapter 13 when he's waiting on the man of God to come and offer up sacrifice. Now, he knew that was the order, that only the priest was to deal in those holy matters. Because back in chapter number 9, when he goes to find Samuel, they said to him, well, he's not here. He's went up to the high place to offer the sacrifice, and they're not going to eat until he comes and offers the sacrifice. That's the priestly order. And God will not put up with those who do not respect his holy thing. And here he is trampling on dangerous ground as he himself, verse number 9, verse 8 said of chapter 13, he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him, and Saul said, bring here the burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And you know what happened to the two sons of Aaron when they offered up strange fire? You know what happened to Uzzah when he touched the Ark of the Covenant? You know what happened to Belshazzar when he took the instruments of the temple and used them in a sacrilegious way? You can't mess with God's holiness and get by with it, no matter who it is. And here he decides that he's not only going to be king, he's going to be priest. And so he steps into that forbidden realm. And when Samuel gets there, he says in verse number 11, what hast thou done? And he has transgressed. Verse number 12, he said, the Philistines, I thought would come down upon me to Gilgal, and I've not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt sacrifice. And Samuel said, thou hast done foolishly. Verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. He said in verse 13, for thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord, which he commanded thee. Then you go to chapter number 15 as if that's not enough. God gave a word through Samuel to tell Saul to go to the Amalekites and to wipe them out and to kill King Agag and to kill all of the animals. But if you'll notice in verse number 9, the Bible said, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. And then I notice in verse number 12, and when Samuel arose, or look in verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, well, this is religion right here. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He has become deceitful. And Samuel said, "What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ear and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared," I keep emphasizing that word people, it rises up so much, "spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." And Samuel said, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night." And of course, in verse number 17, that's where he tells him, "When thou wast little in thine own sight. And the Lord," verse 18, "sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and to fight them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord?" And Saul, in his ill-willed demeanor, said, and Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." Verse 21, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things, and so on, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold," here's that great verse, "to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion," listen to this, "for rebellion," Saul's great ambition, he felt as though it was his calling to get rid of sorcery and darkness. But he says to him, "I'm going to tell you something that's worse than sorcery and darkness, or just as bad. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and the words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." What I want you to understand is when we find Saul, he's under. He is as Samuel said. He is little. And God raises him up. But I notice that now, after he's gotten on the throne, now that he has this position of authority, notice how I phrase this, he gets over being under. He gets that place of position. And then he becomes rebellious. He starts to run things his own way. He has his own ideas about things. And as a result, he begins to reject some things. And he is over, I say again, he's gone over being under. And as a result of that, things begin to dissipate and things begin to fall apart. I like what one preacher, B.R. Lakin, said. He said, "Every now and then you ought to choose a man in your church or a woman and demote them. If they got any kind of position, just demote them." He said, "Then if they get mad, that proves they shouldn't have been promoted to start with." Well, here we have Saul that's been promoted, but his head has swelled, and somehow he thinks he's bigger than even God. He's gotten bigger than the prophet. He's gotten bigger than the Spirit of God. He's gotten bigger than the Word of God. In other words, he's over being under. And I'm going to tell you, church, thank God for the day when God came and found us and saved us. And out of that nothingness, he brought us up. Hallelujah. We need to be reminded of that. If I had time, I'd go back and had time around here. Y'all don't care how much time I take. I know that. But if you go back to chapter number 9 or chapter number 10, you find that the first place that Samuel tells Saul to go, he said, "I want you to go to the tomb And he's sending him to the tomb of Joseph and of Benjamin, and their mother. And he said, I want you to go there where that tomb is. And of course, you realize that it's Joseph's mother who dies birthing Benjamin into this world. It took a death to get Benjamin into this world. And Saul has already said he's the least of the tribe of Benjamin. So this thing started with a death experience. And he needs to realize that he came out of the lowest of the low situation. By the grace of God, he's even in this world. Even in a physical sense, let alone a spiritual sense. And I wondered, as I look back over my life, I realize as it had not been for God, I would not even physically be alive. There's so many places and so many times that I can look back as a kid when it was not even in my choosing that I was riding in cars with people that are drunks, whether it was a brother, whether it was a father, and even in wrecks with them that I could have been taken out of this world, but God spared me physically. But I don't want to get over that. And then realizing that I could have died a drunk like my four brothers did and a sister that's affixing to and as my dad did, I could die in that same old bottle of whiskey just like they have if God hadn't saved me. I don't ever want to get over that. And to realize when God saved me, I had absolutely nothing to my name. I was saved during the time of revival. The thing that sticks out about me the most about that was I was the poorest of the poor. I had nothing. I don't want to get over that. And when God called me to preach, He called the least to preach. He amazed me that He would even ask me to preach. But I'm telling you, I don't ever want to get over that. I'm going to tell you, as I look back, I do not. Because God has given me the gift to preach and He has given me places to preach, I do not want to move up the ladder in my spirit, in my mind, as if I am somebody big. I want to stay back under. I want to stay back little. Because if I can stay little, God can keep me over. But the day I start rising up and I get over being under, I tell you, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. Mom and Daddy ain't going to tell me what to do no more. I'm 18, 19 years old. I'm over being under. I tell you, the preacher, I've listened to him preach, I'm tired of it. I tell you, I read my Bible, I know what I'm doing. I'm over being under. I tell you, I'm just tired of being pushed around, but I don't want to. I mean, it's kind of like the elder, the prodigal son. He's tired of the old man telling him what to do. He's over being under. And I'm going to tell you what's the problem in America again. America, I'm going to tell you two in one phrase. The problem in America, America started under and started with the worship of God and the Word of God. It was founded on that. But honey, this thing is true. If it's ever been true, America is over being under God. Whether it is in the White House or the schoolhouse or the courthouse, it's just over being under. He ain't going to wait on the man of God. He's not going to listen to the Word of God. He's not even going to worship God. He's over. He reminds me of Frank Sinatra, that song that he used to sing just before he died. He sung that song so often, I did it my way. And honey, that's the way the world is. We're doing it our way. We're over being under. I don't ever want to rise up in myself. I want to always see myself little and small and insignificant and short of the grace of God, I am nothing. Because it will create deception. It will create disobedience. There's only one door that let the devil into humanity and the workings of man. And that was the door of disobedience. By one man's disobedience. And that, look what a mess has come out of it. But that's true in the individual life. There comes that day in your life to where you got to make a choice. You're either going to let God reign and rule, or you're going to get over being under him. And once you get over being under him, disobedience comes in. And when disobedience comes in, it opens a door for the devil to work in your life, whoever you are. Amen. Comes in like a flood tide. I think about my own family. I imagine maybe somewhere back there in my generations, I just hadn't found it, somebody knew God. I can't help but believe that somebody knew the Lord. But out of those that may have known the Lord, somebody in disobedience opened the door to alcohol. And it came in as a raging river upon the generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. But I'm glad as a 14-year-old boy, because here's the truth of it. By one man's disobedience, I tell you, sin come running in. But thank God, by one man's obedience, the door to it was slammed shut. Hallelujah. And I'm glad as a 14-year-old boy, that old raging river of liquor was headed my way. But I received him. I got under him. I got saved and bowed down to him. And thank God he had shut that door. It is not a vice in my life, and as far as I know, it's not a vice into any of my children's lives, and so far my grandchildren's lives. Why? Because there come a day when somebody shut the door. Yes. Somebody's got to shut the door.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
My Lord.
You don't want to open that door. He got over being under. Let us never, may it always be in our hearts to bow down, to get down, to crawl, not only in his presence, but in the presence of others. Over being under. He starts out, he's under, and God brings him over. If you find anybody that's over, you will know automatically. You can test their spirits. The greatest man you ever met will be the most humble man you ever met. If he's real and genuine. I don't care who it is. And I tell you, through the course of the years, I've run into a lot of big dog preachers that I didn't have a bit of respect on, because after spending 5 minutes with them, I knew they had no humility. They spent no time under. And all the over stuff is nothing but fake, and they have to demand it and force it. But honey, if you'll get down in real humility and get under, God Almighty will bring you up, and you'll know, because it won't be forced.
Amen.
He's under, and God brought him over. And honey, you don't have to be ashamed of that. And that's not a matter of being proud either. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad for the place that God has given me and a voice to the hearts of those that need to hear it. But I'm telling you, I don't ever want to get over being under. Because my last thought is this truth that is evident. And here's where it ended up. In the cycle. God brought him under what he should have been over. And no sadder thing than to see a nation or an individual or even a marriage or even parents, when the order that God set is completely turned upside down because somebody got over being under, and God brought them under what they should have been over. That's a sad situation. I notice it in Saul's life. How that this began to take place. And it seemed as though that he was coming down. And God was putting him under what he should have been over. I emphasize that as I read the text. I don't want to read them all. But where that he kept talking about the people. He kept blaming the people. Well, God has raised him up to lead the people, not the people to lead him. That was the order of it. But because he got out of sync with God and God's word and God's man, He got out of sync with the order of God as far as authority is concerned. God put him out of sync even with the people. Because he tells us in several occasions how that it was the people that decided this. And then he said again, I feared the people. I was afraid of the people. And he said, well, the people wanted to offer these sacrifices. He is emphasizing the truth, and he don't realize it, that God has put the people over him. He has brought him under the authority that he meant for him to be over. He has had to submit because he is afraid of what the people might do. He is influenced by the people. Boy, isn't that what politics is all about in this hour? Trying to persuade the people instead of listening to God. Has come under that. I'm looking for one of those days. I read them as I came down through them. Those verse number 21 of chapter number or verse 15 of chapter 15. He said, "I brought them from the Amalekites for the people spared the best of the sheep." Then he said in verse 19 of chapter 15, "Wherefore didst thou not obey?" And or verse number 21, he said, "But the people took of the spoils." And then in verse number 24, if you look at the latter part of it, he said, "I feared the people." He's under, and I'm going to tell you, you're talking about a tyrant position, is having everybody else instead of God ruling your life. Always fearing what they say. Did they say? Did they like the sermon? Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Well, you think they'll come back? Maybe I can say something that'll get them to come back. No, you ain't supposed to worry about all of that. Amen. You're supposed to find out what God wants you to do, and if the people don't like it, they can lump it. That's just the way it is.
Amen.
I said that to my very children after they got up old enough to make decisions on their own. And they made some decisions. I said to them, listen, your mom and I started out serving God. And we dedicated this home to the Lord when we got married. And we ain't changing it for you.
Amen.
You're the one that's going to have to make the change, or you are going to have to leave. And we saw one of them have to leave. Broke our heart. But I'm going to tell you something. That house belonged to God. Our marriage belonged to God.
Yes.
Not to a bunch of youngins that decided they wanted to live their way and they wanted us to get under their decision.
No!
I've been trying to find out what God wants, and that's the way it's going to be.
Yes, Lord.
Not the people.
Amen.
I could care less. He's under the people. He's under his own power. Look in verse number 12 of chapter number 13. "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I first myself, therefore." I say to you that our greatest enemy is not the devil. Our greatest enemy is not the people. Our greatest enemy is not the enemy, so to speak. But our greatest enemy is right here. And the key to every bit, the thing about it all, is that he didn't realize it, but he was coming under himself. Lord, I'm going to tell you, they ain't nobody that I don't want to be under any worse than I don't want to be under myself. I don't want myself telling myself what to do. Because I'm always headed in the wrong direction. I don't want to be the authority in my life. I don't want to make the choosing in my life. I do not want to come under the powers of my own influence. I don't want God to bring me under the people. I don't want God to bring me under my own influence and my own personality. God, deliver me from myself. Help me to stay under so God can bring me over. But never get me get over being under, because I don't want to be under what I should be over. Paul said, I bring myself under submission. He said, I'm a getting under myself. I ain't a getting over. I can't tell that anybody else can hurt me. As far as I can tell from Scripture, there is no man, woman, boy, girl, or the devil that has the power to hurt me as long as I'm under. But I tell you who can destroy me, and that's me. Amen. When I get over being under. And then God allows me to come under and find out what it's like to serve under my own powers. Letting me make a slave out of myself. That's where society is. Making a slave out of itself. Nothing any more darker and nothing any more deceitful. Nothing worse than being your own personal slave. That's not freedom. The world calls it freedom. I'm going to do what I want to do. I tell you, I just want to be free. No, you're turning yourself into a slave. And I was thinking about even the powers of darkness. Saul was constantly trying to rid the land of witchcraft. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 28, verse 3, now Samuel was dead and all Israel had lamented and buried him in Ramah. Verse number 9 said, and the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that Saul, he's talking to this witch of Endor, what Saul hath done and how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits. Said, you know Saul's been, she don't even know this is Saul. But said, you know Saul's been getting rid of all us folks. And the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die. But you know what's happened? He's even come under the power and the influences of darkness. He can't get a word from God anymore. God's not speaking to him anymore. And so what he's doing is he's going to these spirits. He's going to these sorcerers and he's trying to get a word from them. God help us. And then again, I say that's where America is now. That's what we got our televisions turned on 24 hours a day, trying to get some, hear what somebody else has got to say about the ordeal. About where we are in America. I'm going to tell you where we are in America. We're over being under, and that's the greatest sign. I'm here. I'm going to tell you flat-footed. I'm going to tell you right now. It's already started. There ain't nothing going to stop it. God's going to bring America under what she should have been over. Because that's the only way to bring us to our knees. We don't need to be raised up right now. It wouldn't be helpless to get raised up right now. We're too high already. We need to be brought down. And my heart, forgive me, has almost urged for the day when somehow I can drive up down the roads and realize that the majority of the churches have been shut down officially. And they are forbidden to preach the gospel anymore. Because of the hate crimes. And now they're secretly meeting in the homes. You know who those are that's going to be secretly meeting in the homes and secretly spreading the gospel? It's going to be those who are little. Are under. God bringing us back to smallness. I don't know, there's something in me looking forward to smallness. I probably shouldn't. I realize that's going to be bad on me too. And I'm telling you, America has been a great power over a lot of powers. That's fixing to change. America has been so high economically and socially. And I know you, but I'm going to tell you, all God's children sense it coming. And I'm not preaching a pessimistic message. I'm not sad about this. Because what do we want to do? Play religion the rest of our lives? And realize that God can't do anything anyway, because the way religion is in this hour, He's not able to do anything big. We're already too big. But when He brings us down, then He'll bring up some stuff that'll be eternal. Saul's life sort of works in a cycle. I don't want to go in that circle. He starts out being under, and God brings him over. But then somehow he gets proud and arrogant, thinks he's somebody, and he gets over being under. And then God brings him under what he should have been over. I don't want to go that route, do you?
No.
I like... Heard about the little boy and girls at the county fair. They just spent all their money, and they had enough money to either ride the merry-go-round or to buy some cotton candy. And the little girl, she wanted cotton candy. And the little boy wanted to ride the merry-go-round, but he only had enough money for himself to ride. So he got on that merry-go-round. He won out. You know how they'll go around one time, two times, three times, nine times, 10 times, and then stop. And he got off. She's standing there all puffed up and mad. She said, "Now look at there." Said, "You've done went and spent all our money and you still ain't went nowhere." I don't want my life to end up like that. Spinning my wheels. What I need to know is, and this is all I need to know is, am I little in my own sight? I said to that preacher, I said, "Well," and he was all upset. He said, "Man," he right in front of everybody, he embarrassed me. I said, "Well, how did it make you feel?" He said, "Little." I said, "Well, he did you a favor." Anytime something brings you down, you've been done a favor, because then God can bring you up. Saul, when thou wast eat, itsy, bitsy, teensy in your own eyes, God made something out of you. This world needs some help. They need some folks that are over. But you can't have somebody over until they got under. And sitting and fellowshipping with Brother McIntosh, when God saved him, he brought him under the authorities in the prison and the guards and the preacher who mentored him. And now you can sense God has kind of raised him over in that community down there to let him speak so folks could hear. This world needs to hear from somebody. But somebody's got to get down. If your family's in a mess, one of you is going to have to get under. If your children's in a mess, somebody's going to have to get under. If your community's in a mess, somebody's going to have to get under. Because Jesus didn't come in this world primarily first to raise anything up. He came to get down. Because he knew once he got down, the Father would raise it all up. Woo! And I'm interested in what he could raise up. That's what I love about going to a church and going into a service where I realize that service is under. And whatever God wants to happen in that service, that's what we're going to follow. Because then I know he can raise something up out of that service. Amen.